Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hi, everybody. It's Heather Dubrow, one half of Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. Please forgive us this week. We are going to be doing an encore episode of Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig for your listening pleasure. As some of you know, my father passed away. And as you can imagine, we are dealing with family issues and traveling back east to his funeral and take care of my mom. So thank you all so much for your support and your messages. And I hope you enjoy this encore presentation of Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. We'll be back next week, as usual. And we're going to be talking about hospitals and how to navigate the system. So again, thank you all so much for your support and enjoy the episode. And we'll see you again next week.
Podcast One presents The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show with Heather and Terry Dubrow. Does it work or is it a crock? No worries. Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig are on the case.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Today was a momentous day for me.
I know. Last day of Botched.
Last day, season four, Botched.
All right, I have a lot of questions about that, and I want to get into that. But before we do, I just have a question.
Yeah.
So I go to the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
At the same time as this other girl goes in the bathroom.
Okay? Yes, yes.
You got to focus on this. This is
important. I'm focused.
We go in the bathroom.
Yes.
And not to be TMI, but, you know, someone goes in the next stall, you kind of, like, hear what's going on, right?
Right.
And clearly, immediately, she starts peeing. So that, to me, there's no paper crinkle. There was no seat cover.
Oh.
Because I get into the stall and I pull out the paper, I situate it, I get it together, I sit on the paper. There was none of that. There was like, we both close the door at the same time and she's peeing.
I'm so
there
glad
was no
you're
paper
asking me about this.
Crinkle. So I remember like having a conversation with my mom years ago and she was like, no one's ever gotten a disease from sitting on a toilet. She doesn't really talk like that, but it just amuses me to say it like that. But my question is hygiene, because there's germs everywhere. And I know that there's a million germs on our phones.
Yep.
And you're so good at that. You always wipe down your phone with an alcohol wipe.
Yep.
All the time.
Yep.
I read recently that the weights at the gym have more bacteria than the bathroom.
No doubt.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So you need to wipe down the weights at the gym. My question is, so you go in the bathroom, she didn't put down the paper. What's the deal with the paper?
Let's talk about that, and let's talk about whether you should wipe, dry your hands with the paper towels or use those air dryers.
Oh, and I have another thing, too.
That's been studied closely.
Remind me about Natalie, too, after that. Okay, so start with this. So what about the paper?
Okay, so I guess you could separate it into a series of questions. Do you get diseases from the toilet seat? The fundamental question. And, you know, do you need to put paper down to protect yourself, a barrier from the toilet seat?
Right.
So I think the answer – I know what the answer is.
What is the answer? Well, tell us.
you don't.
You don't, right?
No.
It's just more gross than anything, because if you've ever not had paper and sat down by accident and it's wet, that's like the most disgusting thing ever.
Well,
sit in someone's pee.
Okay, but here's the thing. If it's wet and you put paper down, then you're sitting right against the soaked wetness. So
no, because there's a barrier. It's waxed.
No.
You're not sitting on the wet.
Trust me, it goes right through the barrier.
That's disgusting.
So I think the question is, with the toilet seat, is number one, are you getting transmitted viruses, bacteria, and so on from the toilet seat into your body? The answer is clearly no. And the main reason is, first of all, it's a skin contact. It's an epidermal contact. So it's not a mucosal contact. Nothing is transmitted through skin except at the gym, by the way. You can get a Staph aureus infection at the gym,
right,
because
right.
Staph aureus – and because you're kind of sort of micro-traumaing your – skin, and it's opening up and allowing access to the bacteria. Okay, so toilet seats are actually very safe. What I would recommend is what I do is, because I've read all the studies about this, I go to the bathroom, and if I put down the paper or not, the first thing I do if I'm going to use the toilet, and by the way, I try never to sit down. I'm a dude.
Oh, who are you kidding? You sit down and pee.
No, no, at a public place.
You don't sit down and pee at a public place?
No. I go in a stall, honey.
And you sit down and pee?
A stall?
Yeah.
No, no, no. I don't mean a stall, a urinal.
You do?
I'm a dude. I'm in and out.
You are so not a urinal guy.
I don't touch anything.
By the way, I go into where BS on that.
Okay, you can call PS, but you think so I have an option. I go in, there's a urinal, there's a couple of urinals, and there's a stall where guys have pooped, and there's urinals where guys have touched nothing and peed. Where do you think I'm going?
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, yeah.
I am not going.
But in general, I don't think of you as like standing
at home. Okay, so what I do is when I have to do that, if I have to, and let's face it, you will hold it for weeks.
Are we talking about poop?
Yeah.
Well, I don't go in public places.
Right.
That's just gross.
Okay. So,
By the way, here in the studio, the bathroom here is so disgusting. Everyone poops in this one. I think everyone in the whole building poops in this one bathroom.
So if I have to go to a stall, it's only to poop, and I only poop in public if it's like, you know,
disaster,
causing me gastric distress. So what I do is, firstly, I take a bunch of paper towels or toilet paper, and I wipe the hell out of it. And so I wipe the particulate matter and the wetness off of it. And as far as I'm concerned, and all the studies have shown, whether you put a piece of paper down or not, it doesn't really matter because you're not getting transmitted disease. So put a piece of paper down. It's good for your head. That's fine. Okay? What's interesting
– You mean for your psyche.
Yeah, for your psyche. Yeah. Your head. Oh, that head. Yeah. So what I find more interesting, and I don't think a lot of people know this, and this is one of today's key lessons on Dr. and Ms. Guinea Pig, is you go into a bathroom in a public place and you have an option. You can use paper towels to dry your hand, or you can use those air things.
But I'm not done with the other part yet because I have other questions.
Go ahead.
So you talked about mucosa. So, all right. So you're saying skin to skin, you're not getting a disease.
You are at the gym.
No, we're talking about the toilet.
Yeah.
So the toilet, butt to seat, seat to butt, you're not getting a disease.
No.
But what about the splash up? What about when that automatic toilet, like someone, like there's bacteria in there and you're going,
well,
the automatic toilet.
It's been flushed. Mm. So that is fresh water that has a very low concentration of anything. And it doesn't have any fecal matter for that matter. So... Oh, so this is, by the way, no one's going to be eating during this session of Dr. Miss Guinea Pig. That's for sure.
Because it's gross. So, I think about this stuff.
Do you have any more questions about the toilet seat in the public place?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, have you ever seen the one? All right, a lot of times they have the paper and you pull the paper out and you pull out the middle part and you put it down and you sit and whatever, and you do your thing. And then they have some toilets where there's like a ring of plastic and you hit the button and it rotates.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I don't believe it.
Okay.
I think it's one ring that just goes around in a circle. You think there's a whole unlimited supply of plastic in there?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
So, by the way, that's very rare to see that. But anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
So, you want to know, you walk into a bathroom stall, you want to dissect this out, it ain't the toilet seat. It's that handle you touched and you locked. Because everyone has touched that after they've touched themselves.
Okay.
So that's what we call a fomite, F-O-M-I-T-E. That's an inanimate object that carries disease.
Right.
Fomite.
So now you got fomites all over your hands. So now you go wash your hands. So what's the protocol for washing your hands?
So, by the way, the protocol is you assume the moment you walk into a bathroom that your hands are now infective devices.
Totally.
Infective is a word in medicine, which means a device capable of giving an infection. Infective.
Yeah, don't wipe your eyes.
So don't touch your mouth. Yeah. Don't touch your eyes. And you basically say to yourself, the moment I walk in, I am not touching anything except soap and water till I walk out. Okay, so you walk in, you use the stall, you have to touch the stall thing to lock it. You're now infective. You're now infectious potentially. Do the thing on the seat, wipe the particulate matter, put the thing down or not, I don't care. Use the bathroom, flush, automatic flush most of the time. Wipe, get up, do your thing. Now you're going to wash your hands. Okay. So once you touch the handles to turn the cold and water, hot water on.
If it's not an automatic,
you never
thing.
Right. If you have to touch them, you never touch them again. So now begins that period where you've touched. Your last touch is the handle
to turn it on.
To turn it on, then you're never touching anything again. So you touch that. Well, it might be the soap. That could be your last contact. But whatever it is, your last Foaming.
A lot of sinks now are automatic. So you put your hands under the soap, you
That's
put your
wonderful.
Hands under the sink.
That's wonderful if you're there. But a lot of times you still have to turn the damn thing on. Excuse my language. So you turn it on and you've made your last skin contact with inanimate objects in the toilet. And that's it. Now the clock is ticking. You need to get out of that place without touching anything. So you wash your hands, soap and water. And this is where it's challenging. What if there is no paper towel? How do you turn the water off?
Back of your hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. I would go, you know what I do? I'm such a psycho because I'm a surgeon. I go into the stall and I get toilet paper.
Oh, that's smart.
And I come out and I turn it off. So I've turned it off. I've still not touched anything. Now, let's assume, though, you have paper towel versus air. Most people think air is better. Studies have shown very clearly that putting your hand in that air thing actually spreads more bacteria to you. Yeah.
Why?
Because what it does is it aerosolizes things that are around that device that people have touched, because people are rubbing, you know, it's a very narrow window of a space that you put your hand in. So that is contaminated. Now air has now come by that contaminated surface and is aerosolizing it and putting it on your hands as you're drying your hands.
Here's what I noticed at the gym the other day.
Yeah.
They have an air dryer. And what I noticed is, you know,
and so, no towels, right? No paper
and
towels.
No towels.
That's so irritating.
So you put your hands in there and, you know, you kind of move them up and down to dry them.
Yep.
And I'm looking down into the thing and there is like an inch of water.
Oh, yeah.
Stagnant bacteria-filled water the bottom of this device. And I thought to myself, holy crap, this air is grabbing pieces of that disgusting water that's collected at the bottom. So you think, air dryer, better. Not.
Air dryer, ladies and gentlemen, worse. Now here's
game changer.
Now here's the problem. So you've now dried your hands, and I would recommend a paper towel. You know, we all want to save the trees and everything. Use the paper towel. And then
they're recyclable.
And then you grab the paper towel, and then you, of course,
open the door
with the paper towel. Yep. And then if they don't have a waste basket near the door, which they're stupid if they don't, just throw it on the floor. That's their problem. They'll figure it out. And don't touch anything. You need to make these commitments to what we call in medicine, in plastic surgery, the no-touch technique. Because I haven't had a – when was the last time I had a cold?
Don't say that out loud. That's such a jinx.
Honey, forget the jinx.
You're going to have a cold next week?
That's fine. It's not the end of the world. My point is – what we don't like to do is because people – we go in a restaurant, people know us, right? And what do they want to do when they meet us?
Oh, shake hands. But before we get to the shaking hands thing, because that's a whole other issue.
Right.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
I love when a show comes out that is so timely and so pertinent to my life that I am dying to watch it. And that is how I feel about Undercover High on A&E. This is so cool. A&E, it has this new groundbreaking docuseries giving a no-holds-bar view of the life and mind of today's American high school teens. This is crazy. 12 episodes. They take these seven young adults from a variety of cultures and experiences, and they're all like ages 21 to 26. And they basically go undercover for a semester in Topeka, Kansas's Highland Park High School. Isn't that crazy? So these participants, they go undercover as typical students and they attend classes, they make friends, they participate in school clubs to give us an inside look at what it's really like to be a teenager today. Because, you know, we all go, when I was your age. But you know what? Times are different. Things are different. We certainly didn't have the internet and cyberbullying and all that kind of stuff. And social media, all of it. So they're dealing with so many more problems than we ever did. And these participants, they really discover the challenges and the complexities, both new and familiar, because as we all know, certain things never change. This series is so important for us to watch as adults, to talk to our kids about, for our kids to watch, to see what's going to come up with them when they go to high school, if they're already in high school. This premieres October 10th on the A&E Network. I am so psyched to watch this show. Let's finish with the door handle. So a lot of bathrooms, I feel like, are on board with the use the towel to open the door
and
thing.
They put a
and they put a waste basket, and some bathrooms even have the paper towels near the door, like Starbucks does that now.
That's good.
So you can grab the paper towel, open the door, and throw it out all in one fell
swoop. Restaurants.
Yeah, but a lot are on board with that. But here's what I think. So Natalie, my assistant, Natalie and I were here today recording Heather Dubrow's World, and we're in the bathroom, and they're very good at that. They have the paper towels. There's a waste basket there next to the door. And I'm opening the door with the paper towel, and she goes, here's what I don't get. You're opening the door with the paper towel. I go, yeah, because I don't want the germ. She goes, yeah, but we're going to walk 10 feet down the hall, and you're going to open the door to podcast one that's got all the germs of everyone that didn't open the door with the paper towel.
Absolutely true.
And you're walking in here, so what is the difference?
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Well, do you have any idea what the life expectancy of those germs are? Meaning, if you have these germs on your hand, they don't live there forever, right? So if you open the door and you walk out, how long are they virulent on your hands?
I wouldn't worry about that. I'll tell you why. Because there's such a high turnover. There's constantly people touching them that they're always alive bacteria on them. So what difference does it make?
So you can't touch any door.
Right.
You need gloves.
Well,
I'm wearing gloves.
So we were recently at a hotel for a brunch. And
what brunch were you at?
It was a brunch at a friend of ours' hotel at an event.
Yeah. All right.
So this was really obnoxious, if you hear me out on this. I went into the bathroom, and I had to go to the bathroom like the real thing. So I go into the bathroom.
Get to poop.
Yeah. I do my thing. It was a beautiful bathroom. Gorgeous. I had a moment. Enjoyed myself. There was no one there.
I can't go to the bathroom unless I'm home.
Yeah. So I had a thorough moment. I didn't touch this. I didn't touch that. I did touch this. I didn't touch that. And I just went through my surgical ritual of not touching the faucet, turning the faucet on, and then washing my hands, and then using the towel, la, la, la. And some dude in a couple stalls over who clearly pooped gets out. He sees me. He goes, oh, my God, love your show. And he reaches his hand out to shake my hand after I just went through my ritual. What to do? Do you say to him, dude, you just pooped. You don't do that because that's like too much. Do you say, hey, I just washed my hands. Do you mind? Oh, thank you. And then knuckles him. I don't even want to knuckles this guy. Ugh. He just touched his whole area and the toilet seat and everything else. And so, you know what I said to him? Because what? It was the spur of the moment. I was out the door. I said, thanks. Right now I'm not really shaking hands. I couldn't think of what to say. Okay. So I walk out, and they happen to be three tables over, and he sits down, and I can see him telling his family, oh, I just met Dr. Terry Dubrow in the bathroom, and what an a-hole. I don't know exactly what he's saying, but it was clearly a what an a-hole. He wouldn't. And so I thought to myself, you know, that is so unfair, and F you. So I walk over to his table. I go, hey. And he goes, yeah. I go, I just want to tell you something. And I said in a really nice way. I go, let me just tell you something. You may think I'm an a-hole for not shaking your hands, but let me just tell you. Imagine I actually went through this. I wash my hands. You come out of the stall after having touched your business, and I've gone through my thing, and you immediately see me as I'm walking at the door, and you want to shake my hand. I go, do you understand why I didn't want to shake your hands? And I'm really apologized for that, but I was decontaminated at that point. And he goes, oh, my God. Totally. So you know what he did? He reached up to shake my hand.
Again!
And I don't know what ritual he went through. And of course, now I have to shake his hand.
Totally.
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
But what I'm amazed at is that people will walk up in the middle of our meal in a restaurant. We're having a meal. And they will immediately walk over. And this is what really gets me. I was a busboy. I cut my teeth in restaurants growing up. I was a busboy, and then I was a waiter, and I was a food server till I was a second-year medical student, okay? So I have great respect for people who serve me. Thank you very much, and it's a very hard job. But let's not French kiss. And these bussers and servers who pick up dirty plates from the 10 tables they have will walk up to me after they've picked up dirty plates, dropped it off in the bus stand, walk out and want to shake my hand in the middle of the meal. I submit to you, those are the most contaminated. I'd rather they go to the bathroom than touch plates.
Well, it's true, and they're not thinking about it. And, you know, you don't want to be rude, but the truth is, it's like you're saying, they're touching everyone's plate. So if you just had your meal and your mouth and your fork, so now your mouth bacteria is on the plate, and someone's touching the plate and moving the plate, and then coming over, by the way, and think about it, and serving you your plate, because they're not washing their hands in between that.
They aren't. And by the way, they're touching the inside of the bus tray. And I have news for you. Do you know how often they wash their hands? Never. Never.
But there's a sign in the bathroom that says all employees.
No.
Wash.
But I don't care about that. I'm telling you, between from table to table, they are never washing their hands. Never. Now, there's this one restaurant in Newport Beach called Gulfstream, which owns Houston's, Gulfstream, RD Cafe.
Houston's?
It's actually called Houston's, believe it or not. You don't believe that, do you?
No.
Hey, Heather, have you heard of Houston's? Houston's? What do you call it?
You've
never been there?
No.
They have one in Century City. Anyway, all right. So they are serving multiple people, and they there's one restaurant in Gulfstream in Newport Beach that actually has right there in the middle of the open kitchen,
they have a communal hand washing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's cool.
Gosh. Anyway, so it's amazing we don't get more sick eating out as much as we do. You know.
Well, because probably the bacterial hit isn't as bad as
we think
it is.
Because they're not really touching the main part of the plate.
Yeah, they're not really touching where you're eating and stuff like that. But I agree with the handshaking. So the problem is that if you're sitting there and you're having a meal and someone wants to come over and say hi and shake your hand, now you're contaminated and then you feel jerky if you don't want to shake hands. I used to lie and go, oh, I'm sorry, I have a little cold. I don't want to touch you. Now I go, I'm so sorry. I don't shake hands. I have little kids at home. You know, I just worry about germs, but I'm so happy to meet you.
But I'm a dude. I have to shake hands.
Well, you can knuckle.
Yeah. When someone comes by, I it's weird. And so the other thing that freaks me out is – okay. So I have a Diet Coke. I might have a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy wants to serve, or girl wants to serve my meal. So they move my drink over. And do you see where they touch the top where my mucosal surface comes in contact with it? And I see it. And look, you become very aware of things you do for a living. And I am very aware of germs because I scrub and I go into surgery. And if I violate surgical technique, it's called, and I touch something on the way, I have to go back and go through the ritual again because that's the law. That's called the Medical Practice Act of California. You need to scrub for 3 minutes or put a particular solution on your hands to decontaminate your hands before you put the gloves on so you don't cause an infection. And I care about my patients and I care about me. If my patients get infected, they get sick and it's a disaster. They think I made a mistake. And I also go in the hospital with them and spend a lot of time.
So do you think a server could be sued for malpractice if they touch everything?
No, because there's no medical practice, server practice act of California. By the way, you actually could. There's no question if a server was negligent and, you know, you could prove, but blah, blah, blah. You know, who cares about it? Not
kidding.
Into lawsuits.
Yeah. So here's the question. Let's break it down. How do we go to the bathroom in a public place and protect ourselves? And how do we eat and greet in a public place and protect ourselves?
When you go to the bathroom, the moment you walk in, that's it. You're now doing a procedure. And the procedure is excreting waste fluids from your body and cleansing your hands and getting out of there. So the moment you walk in, I want you to have the headspace that you are not touching your mouth, you're not touching your eyes, you're not touching your face until you've made your last inanimate object contact. Meaning, let's say you go to the bathroom, wash your hands, then you're putting on your makeup, okay? Once you start touching your face, then you're not touching anything else there. And so you have to get out of that place without touching things. And this is how diseases are transmitted. I want you to walk into a public place and think of it as an infective, meaning a place that could potentially cause you an infection, an infective surface. Wherever you go, particularly if you're going to a museum or a baseball game or whatever. These are the most disgusting places on the planet, okay? So be very afraid.
Be afraid.
And don't
be
use
very, the, very afraid.
Don't use the aerosolized thing, because all that doing is spreading other people's bacteria that have come into contact with those surfaces onto your hands.
You know what drives me insane at the gym? The new thing at the gym is in my class, they want everyone to high five.
Ugh.
I hate that. I get it. Yeah, congratulate each other. By the way, I like sort of being on my own anyway. The whole thing is, you know, competing against yourself. However, you want to congratulate someone, that's great. But they hand out wipes and they want you to wipe down the equipment and there's germs everywhere and then you want us to high five?
The other thing that drives me crazy, I work out in a weight room that's connected to this sort of high intensity, it's not Orange Theory, but a high intensity place that's doing very well.
The place you work out is disgusting.
It's very cool. It's called the 12 in Newport Beach.
No, I mean the gym is dirty.
The gym is very cool. Look, the guy took it over.
Have you ever seen anyone clean the equipment during the day since you've been there?
No, but the guy took it over and turned this mess of a place into the 12. And there's like three or four that are opening up and they're very successful. And the classes are rocking. They're filled. People love them. They're like a new early Orange Theory. This guy's going to explode this business all over the country. And he's now on like his third or fourth. But what's disgusting is this one that I work out in Newport Beach has a really cool weight room associated with it. The guy, the owner, has made very, very cool. And they have a lot of sort of bodybuilder weightlifting guys. The difference is as soon as this owner comes in, his name's Josh, really cool guy, very fit, very good looking guy. He turned it into this really cool gym with these towels and free towels. Here they are. Now, when I first started working out in the 70s, there was a place called the Holiday Health Spa.
It was before
Gold's. It was before Jack. It was right after Jack LaLanne. It was like the coolest place.
After Jack LaLanne? How old are you, 80?
Holiday Health Spa. And they had towels. And they had a rule. If you didn't put a towel down on the machine, you were going to be kicked out.
I love that.
Now, this place has all these big bodybuilders with these amazing bodies. They not only do they not even pick up a towel and put the towel down, they sweat, leave their sweat on the machine and walk away like F you. It's so outrageous that I can't believe I'm seeing these adult men who are smart guys with good jobs, these amazing bodies, sweat over the machines and they basically walk out, yeah, you wipe my sweat off. It's so disgusting. I will not touch any machine unless I put a towel down. But I have to grab the grips, right? And the grips are filled with bacteria. So the moment I walk in there, I say I'm not touching my face, my mouth, or my eyes.
You don't wear gloves.
I don't.
I wear gloves.
Yeah, I know. It's smart.
Well, I think two things. First of all, you don't get ugly calluses on your hand, which is a big deal.
Right.
And second of all, it makes your exposure to the weights less.
It does, but it's the fingertips, you know.
No, because when you hold a weight, I know, but I'm just saying.
By the way, the exposure, it's on your hand. You can touch your face. It's not the hand transfer. It's from the hand to your mucosal surface.
I think what's important is the moment you leave the gym, this is my thing, in my gym bag, I have cleanser and cream and antibacterial. So the moment I walk out of the gym, I go in the bathroom.
Yes.
I wash my hands first.
And arms. I wash my arms.
Yeah, I wash my hands and arms first. But I wash my hands and arms and then, like with their soap, whatever soap they have there, then I take out my soap, my caviar cleanser, Consult Beauty, and I wash my face.
That's a great idea.
And then I put on my cream.
Yep.
And then I walk out and then I put antibacterial on my hands. Man, finding someone to work in your home or someone to work in your office, it can be scary. It's like dating. I mean, how do you find someone and really know who they are? Well, guess what? There is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different, and they know how to vet people, and they've got this insane database. And unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on the ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. Isn't that amazing? So no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post any job on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig. That's ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/guinea pig.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
You're listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
By the way, let's take a moment.
Yeah.
And Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig is all about educating people based on our knowledge, which is very extensive, and our interest in health, wellness, and beauty, which is very significant. Let's talk about the weekend we had at Evine.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about CoQ10 last week.
Yeah.
And so we went to Evine this weekend and we launched our version of CoQ10, which is IntraQ. And, IntraQ is such a cool product because it's exactly what you need. It's 200 milligrams of CoQ10.
Right.
And supercharged with biopurine so that your body can absorb it.
That's right.
And what's so crazy about stuff like that, and, if you're just like a regular person going along, you don't know this stuff. And I'm not trying to hawk our thing. I'm just saying, like, before I got involved in this, I just didn't know. Like, I didn't know we have CoQ10 in our body and that it starts depleting from age 25. And then if you're on statins or blood pressure meds, it's gone. It gets annihilated.
Right.
And you need it. That's what makes you look and feel young is the CoQ10.
Well, CoQ10, and I'll say this in two sentences because, we don't want to start hawking our stuff. But CoQ10 is a coenzyme, which is an enzyme in your body that helps you convert ADP to ATP in every single cell. We talked about this last week, but CoQ10 is the thing that allows you to do that. As you get older, you lose CoQ10 concentrations in the cell, and you lose the ability to do two things. One, convert fuel, macronutrients with their protein, carbohydrates, and fat into ATP, which is the fuel for every cell, particularly the heart, and it neutralizes the electrons that come off that chemical reaction that cause damage to your skin and to your body and to your cell called free radicals. Because we've all heard oxidative free radicals. Everybody talks about antioxidants. Like, you see, if it's funny, you talk to someone who's on a shopping channel who's talking about vitamins and antioxidants. If you sit them down and you go, dude, what's an antioxidant?
They don't know.
They have no clue.
But that's what's interesting about it to me. What's interesting is the science behind it and what you really need. And we all know that supplements aren't regulated. So you go to the health food store and you don't know what the heck you're getting.
Right.
I love the IntraQ because I love the science behind it. And I love the reality of, because I was such a supplement snob. I never took supplements. And now I get it.
Well, it's funny because if you really start to become a student of health and you really realize that we are living very old now, and the way to not only live old but into your old ages to have a great healthful life is everyone after the age of 35 should be on like 10 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
You should be on vitamin D. You should be on metformin. You should be on – some people should be on DHEA. You should be on CoQ10. We call it IntraQ because ours is sort of good for absorption. And you should be on a number of medications, which we're not going to bore you with right now. But you
we'll
really
bore you another time.
You really we have really learned the secret to facelifting the cells. It's funny because I as a plastic surgeon, I'm a macro guy, meaning I look at the outside, the organism as a whole, and I say, how can I make them look their best? But what you and I have become experts on over a period of time is how to be plastic surgeons of the inside. In other words, how to restore and turn back the clock on a cellular level so that it's interesting. We will sit at Evine and a person will call us to give us a testimonial because they love Consult Beauty and our Consult Health and our internal external products. And we'll hear this person call like this and I'm 53 years old.
We're like, you're 53?
And I'm thinking, you're 5 years younger than me. And what they've basically done, and it's not their fault, is they've gotten old.
They've bought into it.
They've bought into it. And it's not that they bought into it. They just don't know that you can be the person at 60 that you were at 30. There is the technology, and it's not difficult. I am really no different, except I had much better hair, no different at 60. I'm not 60 yet, but I will be in 2 years than I was at 30. I can run as far. I can lift. I'm stronger. I can do more push-ups. I have more energy.
It's true.
And I look pretty – I don't look like
you
a 60-year-old dude. I don't look hot. Let's
Honey, you're shredded. You look good.
I'm kind of shredded, but I do not look hot. Hot and Terry DeBrow do not go together.
Right.
It's funny. I was watching this – you know, when I'm driving up here to do Botched on Wednesdays.
You watch yourself doing Botched?
No. Well, I may be guilty of medication. But I watch – what I love to do is I go on YouTube.
And watch yourself?
And I watch very successful people. I call them superheroes. Life is filled with superheroes, whether it's your dad, your mom, your sister, or people you're aware of like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, or – whoever your superhero, somebody who's capable of doing something extraordinary. For me, one of my superheroes, of course, sitting across from me is my wife. She truly, she's a superhero in so many ways.
Honey.
But I was watching Dan Rather interview Kid Rock.
Oh.
Now, Kid Rock has superhero qualities because he's ugly. He's not.
That's not kind.
I'm ugly. He's ugly.
No, you're not.
He's not Brad Pitt, okay? He's a superstar and he's not Brad Pitt.
So the bar is like the most handsome man on the planet.
What I'm talking about is Kid. By the way, he said this. He goes, it ain't my looks that made it. So Kid Rock, like me, is not a good looking guy, but he had no particular musical talent when he was growing up. He just had passion and he taught himself how to play the guitar and he's not a classical trained guitarist. He took two lessons. And he could play.
Well, he had God-given talent.
No, he didn't. He had lots of – he spent a lot of time. He loved, loved, loved. And that's, of course, the secret to success is passion. But anyway, he interviewed him. And Kid Rock is a really interesting guy. Am I into Kid Rock? Not at all. Kid Rock can do hip-hop. Kid Rock can do rock and roll. Kid Rock can do country. He's so talented. And it's funny – listening to Kid Rock reminded me of my brother and I.
How so?
Because my brother, who was a very famous number one album selling rock star in the 80s, when he was in high school, had no discernible musical talent.
Really?
He had no voice. He wanted to play the drums, but you know he wasn't very good at it. He couldn't play guitar. By the time he was 19, he was an amazing drummer. He forced and willed himself to find a rock and roll voice in his voice box that worked, even though his heroes were some of the best rock and roll singers of all time, Paul Rodgers, Rod Stewart.
Well, you two are so intense.
Yeah. And
can't teach that.
Yeah. And, for example, I couldn't – my brother was very talented with his hands. I wasn't very talented with my hands. My brother and I would build these, you know, models of cars and things and dinosaurs. And he'd call myself, you know, my mom.
Glue-mobile.
Glue-mobile,
yeah.
The Glue-saurus. And here I am. I'm a plastic surgeon. Am I the best in the world? Well, maybe. No. But what I mean is I've gotten to the point where I would operate on me any day of the week because my hands are really trained and I'm really into it.
Can I say something exciting?
Yeah.
I can't tell you when just yet, but there may be a scenario. You know, on Heather DeBro's World recently, I had Frankie Benelli,
oh,
who's the drummer for Quiet Riot, who was, yeah, Kevin's best friend.
Yep.
They hired James Durbin to be the lead singer. Such a talented guy. And they were both on my show recently, a couple months ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was like a fan favorite from American Idol. He's a brilliant musician.
Amazing.
And they have a new album out now.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're on tour. And there is a scenario coming up in the next couple of months where Max Dubrow,
our daughter,
is going to be singing with Quiet Riot.
That's so cool.
It's just so cool.
Yeah, it's such a cool.
What an amazing. Yeah. Anyway, I'll give you details. Oh, the other thing I want to give you guys details on is, you know, we're, as you know, we're writing our new book on diet and exercise.
Yeah.
And we are getting very close to needing our guinea pigs, you guys. So I've already gotten a whole bunch of submissions on heatherdubrow.com.
Good.
And if you have 50 pounds or more to lose and you want to be a part of the Dubrow diet plan and be a part of our book and, you know, before and afters and get a chance to meet us and the whole deal, send me a note on heatherdubrow.com.
It's funny because our diet will rock your world. I put Paul Nassif on our diet about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Paul, you're this cute, famous plastic surgeon on TV, and you're a schlub. And I said, why aren't you super fit? You know? And he said, well, I don't eat that much, and I don't weigh that much. And I said, Paul, look at the mirror. Lift up your shirt. And he looked like dad bod.
Yeah.
And he's Paul Nassif, you know? So he said, what's the deal? I put him on our diet. I saw him today, which is the last filming of Botched, today for season 4.
So exciting.
And I looked at him. I go, whoa. I go, have you lost weight? And he lifted up his shirt, and the guy is 7/8 on the way to being completely ripped.
Wow.
And I said, how did you do it? He goes, I did exactly what you said.
I love that. That makes me so happy. I'm very excited about this plan because I think, you know, it's funny. We were recording Heather Dubrow's World today, and Natalie was telling me that she's been off keto.
Oh, God.
She's been off the ketogenic diet. And she said the moment she went off, it was a disaster. And I think the thing about ketogenic diet is that, the science is there. I think it's a great diet. But the problem is it's not sustainable. And it's certainly not sustainable for the average person.
Ugh,
so
it's a mess.
If you could sustain it and live like that, you know, fabulous. But I think most people cannot sustain that lifestyle. So I'm very, very excited about what we have learned and come up with and are going to be able to share with you guys super soon, because you should be able to look, you got to suffer a little bit at the beginning.
A little bit.
You just
bit.
Do.
A little bit.
But
basically 2.5 days.
Yeah, a few days.
Once you get past the 2.5 days and you're on our diet, you are locked in and you feel no pain.
Yeah, but you do have to – look, no pain, no gain. That's a real statement. And, you know, I don't want to baby people and go, oh, let's just do it. Take 3 steps a day.
Yeah, but
this is a real plan. It's a real diet. It's a real exercise program.
It's really a 2.5-day commitment.
Yeah.
How many diets are a 2.5-day commitment?
Yeah, but it's going to work. And the best part is – because I think this is the big deal – is that I think most diets work.
Oh, they all work.
Yeah. But the problem is, are they sustainable? And how do you reintegrate yourself into normal life and continue on your healthy, fit plan? And that's what our diet's going to do for you. Anyway, I don't want to belabor it too much. I'm just saying I'm super excited about it, and I love that Paul's doing it.
But our diet isn't any diet works, stick with this one. It's easier. Our diet has very specific science properties that make it 1,000 times more effective.
So excited that Paul is looking good and feeling good and following the plan.
Paul,
I love that. We saw him on July 4th. He looked great.
No, he looks different.
Really?
Yeah. He
had a girl with him on July 4th.
Yes. Paul always has a girl with him.
Why doesn't he have a girlfriend, though?
I don't know. He can't settle.
Tell me about – we only have a couple minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about
– Season 4?
Season 4 of Botched.
Season
– By the way, congratulations, honey.
Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we're 5 episodes into Season 4 of Botched, and we're on Sunday nights at 9 on E!, and it's the most competitive night on cable. And last weekend, we went up against – this little show called Game of Thrones. And we actually held. So Botched is strong. We're obviously going to do a Season 5. We're very proud of that. But I learned a lot from Season 4. Season 4 was very different than Seasons 1 through 3.
Tell me.
First of all, every season you learn something, but it was almost like our senior year in a way, because by your senior year, you become wise and you learn, you've learned what works, what doesn't work. And now I always say this, what was formerly impossible is now straightforward. And what is impossible is now potentially doable.
Well, you move the bar.
Yeah, we move the bar. But we, you know, every year they do this international casting, and it was international this year. And they every year they up the bar to try to bring us the most difficult, weirdest patients, and they really did. And I said at the beginning of the season, I go, all right, this is the season we're going to have a few disasters. And we had a couple of disasters. We did.
It would almost be weird if you didn't.
Yeah. Well, it would be a lie. And we show the disasters. And
well, you should. I think one of the things you say that resonates with me so much is that it's surgery. I think the problem with – not the problem, but one of the things with elective surgery, elective cosmetic surgery, is that because it's not necessary, people think, oh, it's cosmetic surgery. It's like getting a facial. I'll be fine. And they don't understand. It's still surgery. There's pain. There's recovery. And things can go wrong.
Yeah. And things did go wrong this season. But we really only had one sort of disaster. And it was not due to anything we did, actually. It was due to something else that occurred, unfortunately. And it was an amazing season. It was a really long season. When did it start? November?
Yeah.
It was like 7 months. No, it was 9 months.
Wasn't this the year you did Botched by Nature?
No, that was last year.
Geez.
This was just Botched season 4. Botched by Nature and Botched season 3 were the same time. It was a double season.
That was a disaster.
They're talking next season about doing international Botched, going to London, Italy.
Like you guys are going?
Not necessarily us, which wouldn't be good, but they're going to go there and explore the people's lives in Europe.
Oh, that's a great idea, as long as you're not going.
No, I don't want to go. And so we're going to be doing we saw some worldwide problems. I'll tell you something. We saw one of the most interesting patients we had this season, and I don't want to give it away because they will kill me, is we had a woman in Europe, because you can do things in Europe that you can't do here, who had an injection of this material that makes you super tan.
Oh, I saw the pictures of this. This is crazy.
So she went literally from a white woman to an African woman. And I mean a deep, deep, deep African woman. And
I'm excited to see that show because I'm curious what the manifestation is of all that.
Yeah. So it was an amazing season, and we took a bunch of pictures today, the end of the season, and we had a lot of hugs and kisses and maybe a few tears. Not by me. It was tears of joy because that was a tough season. I'm glad it's over. And now it's time to hang out with my family, spend more time at home, take care of my patients, do more of my own surgery, which, by the way, is all botched surgery anyway, coming from out of the country and out of the state. But I got to tell you, I am one of the luckiest guys in the world because I wanted to do what I'm doing. I got to do it, and I got to do it on a level that no one on the planet has ever gotten to do. So,
well, I'm proud of you, honey. Congratulations on a successful season. Watch for that Sunday nights at 9, and then it'll be moving to Thursdays.
It's going to be moving to Thursdays in 3 weeks at 9, which is good because I want to get away from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We love getting your questions. You can send questions to our Instagram site at Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig, or you can go to heatherdubrow.com and let us know if you want to be joining our guinea pig group for our new diet and exercise program. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We love being here with you. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow. Download new episodes every week on the Podcast One app, iTunes, or at podcastone.com.
Oh, brother.
The reason it's called the NFL, not for long.
It's sports related with Jordan and Luke Rogers.
The Chargers football is not going to work in Los Angeles.
I got hit by a car on my scooter 8 days before our first game of my senior year. I was out there playing. No rib strain's going to keep me out.
JoJo, what is the last book that Jordan read?
I think he just likes to read Twitter articles.
Download new episodes of Sports Related every Friday on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or podcastone.com.